Welcome to another message from the heart. Life-changing messages from Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Ignite Christian Church.
I want to talk today about success. Who likes being successful? Yeah, we do. We all like being successful. Every single one of us wants to be successful in life, but no one starts out with the dream of becoming a failure. I mean, if you get a child and you ask a child, you say to the child, what do you want to be when you grow up? They'll tend to say things like, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a mother. Very few of them say, I want to be a drug addict. Or I want to be a homeless wino. Or I want to be a career criminal. Do you know many kids that say, no, like they don't aspire to that, yet some of them become that because along the way, they lose sight of what they believe success is actually going to be. So, where do we go wrong? And as we grow, how can we achieve lasting success? And by lasting, I mean eternal. You know, many of the success that we grab for here in our earthly body, it's not going to last. It's not going to be worth anything in the long run. We need something that will blossom and last for eternity. So what does success look like? Now, you probably know success looks different to different people. So if you're a sports person, success might be winning gold in the Olympics or the Winter Olympics as we're having now. If you're a footballer, success might be playing for your country or winning a premiership. While a musician, success for a musician is having a hit record. And success for an artist is painting a painting that someone's prepared to pay him a lot of money for. Usually you have to wait till you're dead when you're an artist to do that, just pointing that out. A businessman would say their definition of success is earning lots of money or climbing the corporate ladder. So my question to you this morning is, what does success look like? Is it having a nice house? Is it being famous or is it being praised by your peers? Is it finding the right wife or husband? What does success look like for you and what are you actually praying for? We all want success, but what does it look like? Now, back in Genesis 24, if you're doing our Bible readings this week, you'll have seen this. Isaac sent his servant, oh, sorry, Abraham sent his servant to try and find a wife for his son Isaac. And he sent his servant back to the home country. The servant went there and came across a lady called Rebekah, whom he took back and he married. But just before this happened, in Genesis 24, verse 12, it says, the servant prays this, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. So here's this servant praying for success, and he knew what success looked like in this particular venture. Now, many people have prayed for success in a lot of areas. For example, finding your life's partner. How many of you have prayed for the right one? Yeah. I prayed for the right one. And that's how I was absolutely convinced when I met Fiona that she was the right one. The Lord really proved that to me. You know, don't believe the stuff that they teach you in the world that you got to try everybody out to see who's a good fit. You don't. You need to wait till God shows you the right one. And if you're looking for your life's partner, be the best you can possibly be. And I guarantee you the Lord will bring someone along that fits in with you. Right, so don't look for the best partner, be the best partner. Does that make sense? We used to do some work in Lily House. I remember one time I was doing a Bible study with some of the Lily House girls and I said to them, what does your perfect partner look like? And they said to me, oh, well, you know, these are young girls. Well, he's tall and he's handsome and he's muscly and he drives a nice car and he has a nice job and he loves me and my five charming but illegitimate children, and he's they had this great list of all these things that these fantastic things that anybody would want to marry. And then I said to them, what's the chances of finding that particular guy passed out in the corner of a bar? And they said, oh, probably not good. I said, well, why do you look there? True. So it's not enough to just say I want it or to even pray for it, but you've got to actually take steps to realize some sort of success in your life. You just need to be the best you can possibly be. Now, many of us have prayed for success in other areas. What about success in your exams? Who's prayed for that? True confessions. Who's prayed to rig the exam? I've prayed for that. I've said, Lord, rig the exam. We pray for success in sports, in business, in other areas. We tend to tell God what we want. Oh, no, but this is definitely me. And I tell him what I want to have happen, and then I pray for success, for him to crown my efforts with success after I've told him what I'm going to do. So in the end, what it means is when it comes to success, many of us are just so confused. And we don't really know what success is or where we're going. We don't know what true success is. When we're surrounded by people that are constantly pushing us to succeed, many times the people of faith sort of go the other way and they don't really know what success is. So the world looks at success and says, that's what you all should be aiming for. But as we as believers, we look at that and we go, yeah, I'm not really sure that that's what success is. We think that God has a better plan. Now, some believe material success always represents a compromise of spiritual convictions. Others feel that when you become successful, that God is actually pleased with you. So you got either end of the, and I don't believe either extreme is true. Still others say that they're not interested in success at all. They don't strive for any success in their life. But many times that is an excuse for poor performance. I believe that we need to find out what success really is and then strive rather than doing a second-rate performance. So the issue is not for believers. It's not really whether you strive for success, because you should. The issue is, what does success look like for you? The issue of success is complex and it's charged with emotion. What is success for one is not success for the other. So here's a few pointers on how to ascertain true success. Number one, true success is defined by God and not man. Don't let anybody tell you what you should do to be successful, because God should be the one telling us. Often we pray for God to prosper us, and His desire is to prosper us and to have us succeed as defined by Him. I looked at this verse, very well-known verse, 3 John 1 verse 2. And in the King James it says this, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." And prosperity is not evil, okay? I'm not standing here presenting a prosperity gospel, but prosperity is not evil. Prosperity is good, but prosperity in your soul is what the Lord is most concerned about. It doesn't have anything to do with your bank account, has to do with your soul. God wants us to prosper in health and in our soul and in every way, but above all, He wants our souls to prosper. So it's clearly He has a different measure from anybody else in the world. Worldly success, the success that we are constantly told to strive for all around us, implies striving to meet a set of standards established by a group or people. And, you know, for the Christian, only God can define true success. If you look at the world, and you look at, well, let me read you a list of this is a list of names of very successful people through the years. Can you pick what they've got in common? Listen to the names, okay? Marilyn Monroe, Kurt Cobain, Sid Vicious, Janis Joplin, Heath Ledger, Robin Williams, Amy Winehouse, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Ernest Hemingway. What do they have in common? They're very successful people in their field. What do they have in common? They all took their own life. Why? Because the success the world told them they were aiming for, that they actually achieved, was hollow. There was nothing there. They achieved their success, they strived for it, but in the end the result was emptiness and they took their own lives. Mark chapter 8 verse 36 says this, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world?" What is it? "And loses his soul." You see, the Lord is more intent on our soul. So success must be defined by God, not by man. Number two, success exacts a cost. Obtaining success always involves paying a cost. It requires time, ability, and resources. And your time and ability and resources may be better invested somewhere else. That's why you need to ask God. For example, working long hours may bring about a temporary promotion, but you might lose the joy of working in your job. You might lose your relationship with your spouse. You might weaken relationships with Christians, and you might weaken relationships with people who keep you accountable. If that's the case, that's not really success. What good is it to work hard And I've seen many men like this. Sorry to pick on the guys, but what good is it to work really hard to get a business off the ground to become profitable only to find that you lose your family in the process because you're never home and they don't know who you are? Is that true? When I first started my optometry business years ago, we had Tara, who's sitting up the back here now, but she was a little baby. And I remember coming home from work. We used to work long hours. We're getting the business going, you know, seeing all these people and clients and what have you. I worked long hours, and I came home one day, and I picked up Tara to hug her. This is very early on. She's a very, very small baby, and she was crying constantly. And I said to Fiona, why is she crying all the time? And Fiona says, she doesn't know who you are. And then and there, I decided to change. Because what good is it if I have a great, successful business, but my children hate me? It's a poor bargain. On the other hand, sometimes investing long hours is part of God's plan. So you've got to ask God, is what I'm saying. But there is always a cost. Sometimes it is long hours. Maybe it's just for a season. We cannot sit back and hope that success will roll on down the line to us, because it doesn't work that way. Thomas Edison once said this: opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. Isn't that true? So you can't just sit there and say, well, I'm just going to twiddle my thumbs and watch TV until I become a successful whatever. It's not going to happen. Any success takes effort. Your job is to invest the effort where it achieves long-lasting, eternal, and true success, not the temporal kind that we see around us. Colossians 3, verse 23 says this: whatever you do, work heartily for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. You know, anything I do, be it in the secular world or in church or anywhere else, in music or whatever it is I'm involved in, I want to do my best. I want to be successful. Is anybody here like that? You know, some of you here are teachers, and you want to see your children prosper in your class, don't you? Is that right? That's success, when you see those kids rise up and do the best they can. Some of you here might be in business somewhere. You want to see that bank account increase. I understand all that, but we need to do it not for ourselves, not even for the kids, but for the Lord. And when you do it for the Lord, it starts to come together. See, everything worthwhile costs something. As Gordon Hinckley once said, without hard work, nothing grows except weeds. What's your garden like? Raymond and I started a garden when he first moved out here. We got all excited. We put things in the ground, and those things have grown really well. We have a chili bush, I tell you. It will burn. It will burn. Honestly, if you get that stuff on your fingers and rub it in your eyes, it's really interesting. But the other thing we've noticed is that weeds have grown up everywhere, and we don't like pulling weeds, so we now have a garden full of weeds. Plants, yes, but also weeds. So a little bit of work can clear that stuff out. It costs you time and commitment to come to church. If you want to develop your Christian walk, it costs you time and commitment to come to church, to do the Bible reading plan, to attend a connect group. They're all great steps towards success in your relationship with God. But don't invest time, money, and effort into short-term gain. You need to be playing the long game here. And the long game is eternity, not just what you can see. And the third thing is, each person can choose what they pursue. You see, the pursuit of success is made or denied by each person. No one can make someone else pursue success. I can't come to you and say, I think you'll be a successful such and such, and make you do it. You have to decide you're going to do it. Does that make sense? I've seen Christians pursue all kind of things, some good, some bad, some important, some just a complete waste of time. So which successes are wise to pursue? Which ones should you pursue? I love that verse in Joshua 24, verse 15, where he reaches a point with the children of Israel. He said, guys, you've got to make a choice. And how many of you have said that to people? Maybe your kids, you know, when they're mucking up, you've got to make a choice. He says this: if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But then he says this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I think when it comes to success, there's lots of things you can choose, but I would encourage you, ask God and choose to pursue that which will serve the Lord, not just what everyone tells you to do. It's a success, your way or God's way. And as we pursue success, we choose what success to pursue. We can ask three questions. Number one, who determines what success means for me? You, your parents, your family, your church, or God? Number two, what am I choosing by pursuing this particular success? Am I choosing eternal success or am I going for the long-term gain? Number three, what should I and shouldn't I invest into this success? So if you've got your Bibles, have a look at Luke chapter 5. It's a really cool story about fishing. Now, my fishing is pretty ordinary. I'm waiting for Merv to teach me how to fish correctly because he knows what he can do. I've been fishing many times. I've caught many things. Most of them have been colds and flus. But I'm believing I'm going to get better at it. In Luke chapter 5, there's a familiar story of a time where Peter and his friends, his fishing partners, James and John, went fishing and caught nothing. Now, it's an interesting story for us because it's both failure and success in the life of Peter. A man we can all relate to. Who can relate to Peter? Yeah, I can really relate to him. He has a foot-shaped mouth. And, you know, many of us can relate to that. So the thing that turned his failure into success is really quite simple. I mean, he'd fished all night and he'd caught what? Zip. Nothing. This is roughly the equivalent of my fishing prowess. I'm very good at fishing all night and catching nothing. But when Jesus came on board his little boat, things took a dramatic turn. You see, Jesus gave specific instructions. Listen to it from verse 4. It says this, "And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink." And isn't that just like God, to pour out abundance when it happens? Now, Peter and the boys had been fishing. They'd been doing what they were called to do, what they were skilled at. They were skilled fishermen. They had a history of that. It was their professional job. And they were doing what they did best. But they had had no success. They'd been striving for success as they understood it, a prosperity in fish. They could have chosen what they could pursue, and they chose well. But, and here's the but, you could argue that even though it was God, their God-given mandate as fishermen, and they'd certainly worked hard and toiled hard, they had a problem because their nets were empty. And that is because they were engaging in undirected service. In other words, God had not told Peter what to do. He was just doing it. Typical of all of us Christians, he was saying, "I'm kind of gifted this. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to ask you to bless my efforts." How many of you here have done that? My hand is up. This is what I'm doing. Bless me, Lord. They had just assumed that if they worked hard enough, God would bless their efforts. But there was no long-lasting fruit. There were no great results. There was no success, not because they're in sin. They weren't sinning. They weren't out of God's will. They were just not listening to him. They were spinning their wheels. How many of you know, especially in Christian ministry, you've started stuff or done something and you just haven't got anywhere? Is anybody here like that? Am I the only one? No, great. Because many of the times we choose what we want to do and ask the Lord to bless it and give us success, but they had caught nothing. Many times we try and do things for God, but we only end up failing. But hopefully over the next few weeks, I'm going to do a little series on success. You'll find out how to turn this around and actually have real success with what you're doing for the Lord. Hopefully we'll find out what we're doing wrong. But I don't know about you, but I'm fairly thick when it comes to some of this stuff. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. I confess that. I'm pretty dopey at times when it comes to a situation like this. This could be me, in fact. Instead, I do something, it doesn't work, and so instead of asking God or bailing out or changing, I decide I've got to push it harder and work harder to make it happen. Is anybody here like that? Yeah, I don't listen. I just push harder And I instead of reevaluating, I just knuckle down and keep plowing ahead, hoping against hope that things will get better. And I often find myself digging myself further into the mire than what I started. Sometimes I think, you know, I'm so bright, I think if brains were dynamite, I couldn't blow my nose. You know, you should figure this out. If you try something and it doesn't work, the answer is not necessarily go harder and harder and harder and harder and harder to try and make it happen. How often have we begun a work for God that bears no fruit because we've not really been directed by Him to do that, but we've chosen what we think God wants, and then we order Him to bless it? How often have we entered a business deal or a relationship that is a disaster because we failed to consult the Lord? And even then, we don't ask Him or pull out or anything like that. We ignore Him and keep plowing on. Does anybody relate to this? I mean, this is us all over, isn't it? Many times in church. If we're smart, we should learn to fail forward. You know what that means? That we learn from the mistakes we've made and hopefully don't make them again. I'm sure that looking back on the fishing expedition, Peter could quickly see that while the job he did was not bad or evil, he was outside of the will of God. He was not being directed by God. And when he finally obeyed, and he did so reluctantly, put your nets out on the other side. Oh, come on, Jesus, we've done this all night. We're professionals. How's that going to help? But if you say so, all right, we'll do it. And bam, suddenly it comes good for him. When he finally obeyed, as Jesus told him to, he saw the success he longed for. And I believe many times in our lives we miss what God wants us to do. And we oftentimes don't even take the first step. We don't ask God, we tell God what we want Him to do, then we demand that He blesses us. And if we do ask, we often don't listen and obey. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says this, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. How many of you know that? The Lord establishes your steps. If you want God to tell you His agenda for your life for the next month or the next year, He's not going to do that. God establishes our steps one at a time. He wants you to obey and take the first step that He's already shown you, or the next step. Why should He roll out His plans for your entire life when you won't even be obedient taking the first step? If you want to know God's plan for your life, start being obedient. As you are obedient, He will roll this out slowly but surely and make a way. Many times we don't see what it is that God wants to do in our lives. We just say, nah, God, I don't want to do that. Or in my case in particular, when I feel like the Lord's leading me some way, I say, thanks, Lord, you've done a great job. I'll take it from here. Come on. We're all a bit like that. Yeah, thanks. This is a miracle. Thank you, Lord. I'll take it from here. You sit back and watch how the pros do it, you know. So we end up missing out. But God wants to do something great in your life. He wants to do a miracle. He wants to move you to unbelievable success, eternal success in your life. But you have to obey. If we live our lives God's way, in God's timing, our nets will be breaking. I've seen this in my life time and time again. When I thought my back was against the wall and the Lord told me something and suddenly the floodgates opened. Who's experienced that? Suddenly there's been blessing coming down the line because I was obedient instead of making my own way. It's called directed service. How often have we wasted days, months, even years, even a lifetime pursuing things that are not the will of God for us? Success, you see, true, lasting, eternal success depends on you simply yielding to God, giving your life totally to Him and asking Him into your boat or into your life. But it also depends on you being obedient and allowing Him to control your life. There are many choices in life, and many of the choices are good. But you don't want good choices for your life. You want God choices, correct? For this church, there's many great things we could do and get involved in, but I don't want good choices for this church. I want God choices. I want things that He directs and that matter in eternity. See, the thing is, you only get one life. Only one life. This week, I attended the funeral of a lovely young lady called Ruth, and she has gone to be with the Lord. And I can tell you, there is nothing so sobering as sitting in front of a coffin and contemplating your own mortality, is there? Who's done that? You see that box there, you think about yourself. Now, Ruth's short life was only 32 years, but it was a life well led and much loved. She was an amazing woman of God. Likely, you will get a lot longer than 32 years. So what will you do with your time on earth? What will they say on your gravestone? What will they say on your epitaph? With all the years you've been given, where will you go? Hebrews 9:27 says this, just as man is destined to die once, and after that the judgment. We all, you and I, have an appointment with death. God may call us home in 40 years. He might call us home next week. We don't know. And you don't get another life. You can't hit a rewind button and redo part of your life to get it right. You cannot unscramble the egg that is your life, that is your choices, your successes and your failures. Now, statisticians tell us that three people die every second. That's 180 every minute, 11,000 every hour, and that means every day a quarter of a million people move from this world into eternity. So what will they write on your gravestone? I often think about this. How will I be remembered? How will you be remembered? You know, he was a great businessman. Is that what you want? She was a great mum. I actually looked at some sort of funny gravestones, and some of the gravestones I really like. One had, you know, we love you, mum, and stuff on the front, and on the back was her favourite cookie recipe. I thought that was kind of cool, because that tells you all about the sort of mother she was, doesn't it? So, what success will you be remembered by? More importantly, how does God see your successes and failures? If this is the only life you get on earth, if this is it, if this is as good as it gets, how can you make this life a success for eternity and a success in God's eyes? Someone once said, and I like this, only one life, 'twill soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And it's so, so true. So what is the success that you're striving for? What is it in your life that you're yearning for? Many people simply don't strive for success. They just float along with their life. They just, you know, live their life and have a happy life and that's it. But I, for one, don't want to go through that. Is that how you want to live your life? Just have a happy life? Just maybe, you know, eat some good food and meet some nice people and... I want to make a difference in this world, don't you? I want to make a difference. Some people just are content to float along, but I want more than that. I believe you do too. We want fruit that lasts, don't we? Many people today are just treading water in their life. They're merely marking time instead of enjoying real success in their life. In fact, for many folks, their favorite day of the week is someday. Someday my ship will come in. Someday my Prince Charming or Princess Charming will come. Someday it's all going to get better. Someday my life will change. Someday when I'm financially set up, I'll serve the Lord. In a recent survey, 94% of people surveyed said they were simply enduring the present while waiting for something better to happen. Isn't that sad? Many people are not enjoying life, they're enduring life. And we should not be those people. But here's what those folks don't plan on. They don't plan on death. They never envisage it coming unexpectedly. When you're young, you tell yourself that you've got 50 years or 60 years before you have to worry about that stuff. But that's not always true. Death knocks on every door. In this series, as I go along, I want to shake us all out of our comfortable existences and open our eyes to the greatness of what God has for us. I want to challenge you today to take your eyes off the world and off the world as a success and put your eyes firmly on Christ. I challenge you to take your eyes off the world and put them on Jesus right now. To strive for the things that matter to God, not the other stuff, the worldly stuff. To strain and to strive towards eternal goals and true success that God has for you. I love that verse in Philippians 3. Philippians 3 is an awesome chapter, isn't it? Who likes Philippians 3? I love it. Listen to this. Verse 13, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for the upward call of God in Christ. Paul didn't slack off and float around. He pressed on to win the prize. Most of us are afraid of dying, but I would dare say many of us are also afraid of living, afraid of trusting God, afraid that his success might not equate with the success that we want. Listen, if you put your life in the hands of Jesus, before you know it, his values become your values. His success becomes your success. Philippians 3 says this. Paul puts this in great perspective, because just before he wrote those words I just read, he wrote this. Listen, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered loss of all things and count the rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. Many of us want worldly success. We want earthly success. We want nice things. That's not a bad thing. But when we focus on it, it becomes our God and our idol and what we strive for. And I believe that, well, what's that verse in Matthew 6:33? Seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are given to you as well. If you want worldly success, focus on Christ. Because if you go all out for Jesus in seeking him, in honoring him, in living for him, this other stuff follows along. Before you know it, you do have the right partner in life. You are moving into that home, etc. This is not a prosperity gospel. This is an all for Jesus gospel, and let him sort the rest out. Do you understand? I think it's really important that we get this, because sometimes there's stuff running around in Christendom that says, if you just give this amount of money to my toll-free number, God's going to prosper you and you'll be a millionaire. Not true. But if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, you can trust him for all of the other stuff to come down the line. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, you have one life. You can waste it. You can invest it in things that ultimately will not matter. You can put out your nets and you can tell God to fill those nets, and you can pray and you can believe and you can prophesy to those nets, and nothing happens because you're not doing what God said. You're doing what you want and telling him to bless it. I believe we need a change in our mentality in church, don't you? We need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We need to put him first and let him bring the increase in the success in the background. Because true success will come one day when you enter the heavenly realms. And it sounds like this. You want to hear what success sounds like? It sounds like this. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's the success I want. That's the success that I'm striving for. So let me finish with this. What does success look like in your life? And is that what God wants for you? And does it really matter in eternity? Would you bow your heads?
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown from Ignite Christian Church on the Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more great teaching and information, visit www.ignitechurch.org.au.